Welcome in to the Tighten Up Podcast on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He's at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Tighten Up Podcast. And as always, make sure you're following A to Z Sports on every social media platform.
This is episode number 213, the Taylor Swift pretending to be a Tennessee Titan while getting screamed at by Kerry Collins of Sodes. That is a pull right there.
That is a pull. And even T-Swift can't escape the wrath of Kerry Collins.
Yeah. Hey, just keep in mind, before she was a Chief, she was a Titan. You know, people forget.
That's right. No, you're totally right. And Young Buck, we can't forget how big of a fan Young Buck was of T-Swift.
Young Buck on the podcast where we got Young Buck on. I did we get him on twice? If we did, it was the first time we got him on. The first time we got him on, he essentially took claim to her success because he lived down the street from her, and apparently she would ride her bike by his house and oogle and ogle at the number of cars he had in the driveway. And so he felt like that was a direct correlation to her wanting to make it big one day, which, look, you could say if Young Buck never lived down the street from Taylor Swift, would she be where she is at today? I don't know. People are asking.
Hey, a quick Kerry Collins fact before we move on. You know, he's the head coach for Summit High School.
Summit?
Yeah, was Summit around when you were in high school?
I think it was one of the newer ones. Did it come before or after Independence?
After.
Okay, then, yeah, no, not a chance. Independence came after when I was in high school, too, so I'm super old.
Yeah, Kerry Collins, quarterback's coach at Franklin High for a couple of seasons, and then Summit decided, you know what? It's time to give him the keys. So they brought in old Care.
Kerry Collins quarterbacked one of the greatest Penn State seasons of all time. 1994, when undefeated, should have won the national title that year. But the voters gave it to Nebraska instead. That was pre-BCS era of college football. It's a shame. You never know what could have been. Kerry Collins, great Titans quarterback, honestly. Great Titans quarterback, great Penn State quarterback. Now, apparently, great head coach at Summit. I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
I think this is his first year.
They could be terrible. Okay.
Yeah, the jury's still out on whether he's a good head coach.
Okay. All right. If you haven't seen that video of Taylor Swift getting hyped up by Kerry Collins as a Tennessee Titan, you should find it. It's online somewhere. I don't know where to find it, but you can find it. That so title comes to us via Eldon English. Shrike 113. Look, we're in the midst of the offseason. Okay, and we're coming to you. This podcast actually drops on the day that there is scheduled media availability with the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. So there will be massive news that breaks. And if you're listening to this on a Thursday after massive news breaks, then I don't know what to tell you. Jack and I get Wednesday afternoon news dumped all the time, and we just know we're going to this Wednesday. But that's not to say we don't have a great show in store, because we're going to talk about a lot of different things. How about some top 30 visits? How about some, I mean, this is like a week old by now, but Stephon Diggs to Houston. What about the potential of trading back with Buffalo? And a great Tennessee Titan has decided to hang up his cleats. We will get to it all and more, but first we got to get to a word from our friends from BetMGM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code A to Z Sports and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
And with all that said, Let's talk Titans.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm sucking.
What is up, Flame Heads? Welcome into the Titan Up Podcast. Today is April 10th, 2024, and I'm at a crossroads right now. There are two specific things I want to start off this week's show with, and I don't know which one to go with. So, Jack, I'm going to put it in your hands. This is going to be a choose-your-own-adventure, okay? Do we initially start off, before we get to anything of importance, talk about how DraftKings has dropped their regular season odds to have a winless season in 2024-2025. And your Tennessee Titans have the second best odds to do so. Do we start there? Do we start there? Or,
oh man, that's, I feel like I'm taking the bait if we start there.
Just you have to hear the second option. It's a choose your own adventure. Or do we start with the news that Jack Gentry has signed up for LinkedIn?
Okay, well, I mean, when those are my two options, then let's definitely do the winless odds. I don't know what's going on.
I wanted to get into the LinkedIn stuff.
Yeah, I'm new to LinkedIn, so connect with me. But
new to LinkedIn, that's like someone signing up for MySpace today. Like what? Like what?
Follow A to Z Sports because we've got a new LinkedIn page as well. So that kind of encouraged me to get in the game.
I feel like this is why this podcast is like probably like your highest source of income right now, is because you just signed up for LinkedIn. Like you missed out on so much potential to get into the workforce and get an actual steady paying job where you could be like extremely successful. But instead, you meet once a week with me on a Zoom call on a Tuesday and talk Titans. And you could be doing so much more, dude.
Hey man, those BetMGM checks do not hurt. But yeah, also do a little more than that writing on air stuff with A to Z. So
sure.
My cup is full. But
yeah,
let's quickly hit on the winless odds. I want to know who's below the Titans, who's slightly above them. Where do these teams rank?
Okay, all right. We'll get into winless odds for the Tennessee Titans. We'll do the top five. Okay. So coming in at number five, the Raiders at plus 5,000. Coming in at number four, the New England Patriots plus 3,500.
How are they above Tennessee?
This is all before the draft, so I assume they. Yeah,
I can't hold in my rage.
I assume these odds are predicting draft outcomes. The Broncos are at plus 3,000. The aforementioned Tennessee Titans are at plus 2,500, and the only team with better odds to finish next season winless, the Carolina Panthers, mm-hmm. plus 2,000.
That's crazy to me. It's like everybody has ignored every move the Titans have made this offseason.
It just feels
lazy. You know, what do the Patriots have that the Titans don't have? What do the Broncos have right now that the Titans don't have? I'll tell you what the Titans have that the Broncos don't have, a damn quarterback, okay? This is bait. I hate that I'm falling for it, but it's just like the 5.5 win total number. Like, none of this feels right. And I'm not complaining about it because, like I mentioned when we talked about this first, I'm going to make money off these idiots. And it's not often that I call odds makers idiots because they're usually right. But they are way off when it comes to the Titans.
I'll say this. I am essentially like Steve Buscemi in Billy Madison. I've got a list that I've got written on a sheet of paper above my couch, and I have got it is a list of sports books that I am set to kill. All right.
You got a tube of red lipstick as well?
I apply that whenever I add to the list. And I just added DraftKings to that list, okay? On that list previously was FanDuel for coming out with a list of the quarterbacks ranked in the NFL, starting quarterbacks ranked. And Will Levis finished 32nd. 32nd behind, not one, not two, five rookie quarterbacks that haven't even been drafted yet. So these guys were basically presumed drafted to certain teams and placed on a list ranked higher than Will Levis as the 32nd ranked quarterback. In fact, I made a video about it for Cork Bats. Very frustrating. I was like, you've got to be joking me with this list. Like, this is absurd. It's obnoxious. You're doing it for clickbait. And that's simply all it was. It was like, you couldn't have had a person with a half-decent brain come up with this list. Because even if you did, you would have put at least one of those rookies, who rookies in the NFL, unless you're an Andrew Luck, unless you are the exception to the rule.
CJ Stroud.
You have, well, no, sorry, CJ Stroud, I guess, yeah, would be, yeah, CJ Stroud would be an exception to the rule. You have terrible rookie years. Case in point, Bryce Young this past year.
Exactly. Like, I'm glad you brought him up. What did he do last year that Will Levis didn't show? Like, I felt like Will Levis, like,
showed something.
Way more skill set,
right?
Or like, way more tools, I should say, than Bryce Young ever did.
Yeah.
And one of those tools is simply just being taller than his offensive line.
Yeah, and Will Levis, that's a great point. It's a great point, honestly. Yeah. Will Levis did, what, he won three games last year? Was it 3-6, I think?
Without checking, I want to say that sounds right.
Yeah, so that's three wins. And how many wins did the Panthers have last year? Three wins. For all 16 games that Bryce Young started, or 17 games that Bryce Young started.
Yeah, he had way more chances.
So, yeah, regardless, look, it's ridiculous. I think we all agree. It is absurd. But this is, again, one of those things where I just kick my hands back, I kick my feet up on the table, and I'm like, give it to me. I love this stuff. I love seeing the doubt and the naysaying of the Tennessee Titans. And frankly, I think this is where this franchise thrives. This is where this franchise lives and breathes, because nobody ever expects the Titans. They expect to walk all over the Tennessee Titans.
But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun because everybody thinks nothing of us right now.
It's more fun. Picked
the Titans to go 3-13. You know how fun that was when the Titans ended up in the AFC Championship game? Like, that is fun. And I honestly, like, that's where the Titans have usually been throughout my lifetime.
Yeah.
Is the team that no one assumes is going to pop up and hurt you. They always do in those spots. They did it a lot when Mike Vrabel was the head coach. The underdog role is a role the Titans have thrived in for two decades plus. And
yeah,
it was fun having the target on our backs. It was fun when the division back-to-back seasons, but now we're the snake in the grass again.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to get bit.
That's the thing. You go into a season, like when you do have the targets on your back, you go into a season more confident, sure. But I love the idea of people doubting you and then you giving them whiplash because of how hard they whip their head around, being like, oh, damn, the Titans are good. Titans are going to be good. And like when you make a statement win, you know, like a couple years ago when Derrick Henry went down and their first game out of the chute was a Sunday night game in Los Angeles against a really good Rams team, and they dominated that game. Those are my favorite type of football games. So when I see odds that the Tennessee Titans have the second best odds to go winless in a season. Keep in mind, it's only been done twice in the history of football. And the Titans have the second best odds to do so.
Foolish.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Inject it into my veins. That I actually almost love that kind of stuff, more than I love seeing, like, who's the, you know, highest odds to win the Super Bowl and the Titans are ranked second. No.
Yeah, the biggest dark horse. Who's the biggest dark horse? Oh, the Titans could do it.
Yeah, that kind of stuff means nothing to me. Saying like, oh, the Titans have the best odds like to be successful. No. And I, of course, say this while wearing a Dodgers hat in our Zoom meeting right now. Like, you know, it's like, so that's probably why, you know, like saying a team is going to be good and then they let you down like that's probably why I feel this way. I almost like coming from the bottom, working your way up than I do, because you pass so many cars on the way to the finish line. And that's what I'm hoping the Titans do next season. Now, with that said, it could be a moot point. The Titans could be terrible, and having to find, you know, Brian Callahan could be having to find new jobs on LinkedIn, which is where he'll find Jack Gentry there now. Can we get to
connect
it now?
With me, Callie?
Is that Jack? You're now on LinkedIn. Have you sent any emails saying I'd like you to join my LinkedIn network?
I did the connection, so I maxed out connections back to back weeks. I'm still waiting on you to accept one. Actually, this is kind of a touchy subject.
Oh, this is awkward. Well, sorry, I'm too busy chatting with Chase Kaufman on LinkedIn. Do you remember that? Yes.
I totally forgot that happened.
Never forget the back and forth of Chase Kaufman reaching out on LinkedIn for me. That was a random time.
Titans legend.
Titans legend, Chase Kaufman. And so, once I'm done chatting with him, then I'll accept your connection on LinkedIn. But everyone, go send Jack Gentry a LinkedIn connection on there. And I think is there a way you can like A to Z Sports? I think A to Z Sports has a LinkedIn page now.
Or follow or something. Remember, you're asking LinkedIn questions to a guy who's been on there for a little over a week. So keep that in mind here.
I'll say this, Jack. I have been on LinkedIn since probably 2006, 2007. But you and I, and even though you've just joined like a week ago, you and I have probably spent the same amount of time on that on the website.
I've been grinding over there, man.
I go and like update my bio, like or my resume, like every time I lose a job, which is like every 3 years. So,
speaking of people looking for jobs right now,
that's a great segue.
The Titans are bringing in a ton of people for these top 30 visits.
Yeah, and you want to talk about recruiting visits or guys putting their cover letters and their CVs together for the Tennessee Titans. It's these guys on the top 30 visits. And Jack, before we get
a lot
into
of connection,
not dispute, but there's a little confusion in terms of the top 30 visit.
Yes.
Can you explain it in layman's terms? Yeah.
I see it all over social media. People see names that the Titans are bringing in for top 30s, and they assume that this person is in consideration for the Titans to draft them within the first 30 picks of the draft. That's not true. The Titans have already had plenty of meetings, whether it was pro day meetings or formal meetings at the combine. They're allowed to bring in 30 people here. That's your top 30. They're allowed to bring in 30 different prospects and meet with these guys. Doesn't mean that they're thinking about drafting, Marshawn Lloyd, the running back out of USC, in the first round. It does not mean that at all. They're just allowed to bring in up to 30. I don't think anyone ever really brings in 30 because that front office would be absolutely out of gas by the time the draft rolled around.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If you did, one a day, that would be exhausting. Think of it like college football recruiting, where you only have so many on-campus visits or whatever. You only have so many to give out. That is essentially what the NFL is doing with the 30, the top 30, where to invite 30 guys on to your premises before drafting them.
Yeah, great comparison. And do you just want to get into these top 30s?
Let's get into them, Jack, because I see a couple of Mizzou guys on there.
Yeah, I know. This is the year they're going to draft a Mizzou guy. But
yeah, there's no thicker kicker, unfortunately.
We'll go from what most interesting to least interesting. How about we do that? So stick around if you're Missouri.
For me, the most interesting are the Mizzou guys. But go on.
Malik Nabers, obviously. Joe Alt, top 30 visit. And real quick, Malik Nabers, this is the third time the Titans have met with him. Okay, they met with him at the Combine, and they met with him at LSU's Pro Day.
Jeez, get a room, you guys.
There were two guys the Titans met with three times last year. Will Levis. Ajay Spears.
Both of which, correct me if I'm wrong, play for the Tennessee Titans today.
Very interesting, isn't it?
I think the Titans are tipping their hand as to how they court a lady.
The other person that they've met with more than once, Joe Alt. They had a top 30 with him. And
if the Titans somehow landed both or even just one of those guys, I would be a happy boy. I would be a happy boy with a smile on my face on draft night. Yeah.
Now,
my daughter would not be crying at our preschool prom on draft night after drafting Will Levis like we were last year, right?
Right. Now, they did send a team up there for Notre Dame's Pro Day with Joe Alt, but a lot of people are saying it wasn't the A team. So, do with that what you will. But those are the two guys the Titans have met with multiple times so far. The other dudes, which are highly interesting to me.
Well, J.C. Latham. Real quick, on the Joe Alt front, the Chargers, who pick just above the Titans, they've been throwing around a lot of offensive line talk lately. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh met with the media and talked about how the offensive line is important. It's like the most important thing to him, which completely counters what Brian Callahan said, where he's like, I'm all in on the guys who can score touchdowns more.
Yeah, but for a guy who drinks milk with every meal, it's no surprise he wants the dudes with the big bones.
look, for a guy who still wears pleated khakis, you got to think his ideology is still a little out of touch. But then I believe it was their offensive coordinator also stepped up to the podium, or maybe it was their GM, and talked about how offensive line is important to them as well. Is this all smokescreen? Like, are they going too hard with the smokescreen to where it's like it's obvious that they're going wide receiver, or do they really mean it and they are going to go offensive line ahead of the Titans? Because then that probably means Joe Alt may not make it to seven.
Yeah, I still believe it's a smokescreen because they've got Slater down there who has short arms but is a strong player.
Slater.
Arms. His arms probably are the length of my entire body. But you know, he's still a good player down there. And they just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams because they couldn't afford them.
Right.
If they delay that, if they delay taking a receiver, I mean, sure, it's a deep class at that position, but I just feel like that's the wrong way to handle it. But again, a new regime over there. So
yeah, I mean, who's Justin Herbert going to throw to if they don't go offensive weapon in their top pick? I mean,
They took a receiver last year in the first round, Quentin Johnston, out of TCU. Yes. And they've got Josh Palmer, who emerged last year. I know that's us pandering to the Vols right there. But outside of those two, there's nobody really that you feel good about hanging your hat on at receiver.
Justin Herbert's going to be asking the trainer to stab him in the lung next season. Am I right?
What a throwback. Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, or Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor. We learned that on Hard Knocks. Okay, moving back to the top 30s. But that's a great question about the Chargers, because whatever the Chargers do, the Titans probably zag.
Yeah.
You know, the Chargers zig.
Sorry. Not to derail our visits talk.
Back to visits talk. J.C. Latham, tackle from Bama. A lot of people like him at left tackle at the next level. Played right tackle in college. Big frame. Good technique. Guyton. I believe his name is Jalen Guyton. Unless that's a receiver that I'm thinking of. Maybe it's Tyler Guyton. I'm getting my prospects messed up here. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, the offensive tackle they're meeting with this week. So a handful of offensive linemen there. They're also kind of branching out because Titans have more needs than that. You got a receiver in Roman Wilson from Michigan who dominated at senior bowl, coming in. Junior Colson, inside linebacker, would fill a big spot there, would wear the green dot possibly. He's coming in. You got a couple running backs in Marshawn Lloyd from USC, who had a big season last year, and Rasheen Ali, who had a big season at Marshall last year. Jackson McKinley, defensive lineman, possibly an Autry replacement from A&M. Some cornerbacks, Kalen Carson out of Wake. And you've got Jarvis Brownlee Jr. out of Louisville. And then you've got Chris Abrams-Grain, a guy a lot of people like out of Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, a former wide receiver turned cornerback at Mizzou, had a fantastic senior season last year on the defensive side of the ball. He's actually been good the last couple of years, but really balled out last year, which you love to see, especially if you are a Mizzou fan like me. But Darius Robinson had a virtual meeting with the Titans, and that is a guy that has been like kind of creating a buzz about him over, you know, since I've really senior bowl. He's a big dude, and Mizzou used to be known for their defensive linemen. They used to, you know, refer to themselves as D-line zoo instead of D-line U. Do you see what they
this
did
is
there?
New. This is all news to me.
Really? Okay. So Marcus Golden, Shane Ray, Alden Smith, Alden Smith before he got went off the rails.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a great player.
But Michael Sam as well. He was a Michael Sam SEC Defensive Player of the Year. There was a good probably 6-7 year stretch where Mizzou was just known for turning out defensive lineman after defensive lineman. Then they had some coaching changes and kind of got away from that. And I think that's why Mizzou struggled for that period of time in the SEC. So obviously, we all know how important the trenches are in the SEC, both offensive line and defensive line. And they struggled on the defensive line. Well, they just started getting good again. And I think, again, that directly correlates to the success that they had. Darius Robinson was a large part of that and a guy that I think is going to put up Marcus Golden type numbers and longevity career-wise on the defensive line. So,
yeah, and if there's a player in the second round that shares a lot of the same traits that DeNico Autry had, it is Robinson. You know, because he can go inside, he can go outside.
Right.
He's a tackle for loss machine. He stuffs the run, but he also gets the quarterback. Yeah. So that's a dude when the Titans come up at 38. If he's available, he's very much in the realm of possibility there.
And honestly, past that, the past seven, what they do at 38, as long as it's not a quarterback that they trade up for, I'm okay with just like anything but a quarterback. I would like to go 1 second round without drafting a quarterback just for the first time in 3 years. They could if they drafted Harrison Meavis, the thicker kicker, I would be okay with it. I'm okay with that second role as long as they're able to land a Malik Nambers or Joe Alt or, you know, someone of high value and a strong offensive tackle prospect that isn't named Isaiah Wilson in that number seven pick. I would be
they
okay
already
with that.
Went down the road of Missouri kicker, though. You remember old Tucker McCann?
Tucker McCoulda've is what he should be called because they
McCoulda woulda shoulda.
Yeah, he probably should have won the starting job. Because what was that, 2 years ago when the Titans went through a revolving door of kickers? That was before the Nick Folk days, keep in mind.
He was just always hurt, it felt like.
Well.
But so some of the big names that the Titans haven't brought in on top 30s yet. What do you say?
You'd get hurt too if you had a steel toe.
Yeah, I get hurt walking down the stairs. So some of the bigger names that the Titans haven't met with on the top 30 list yet, Patrick Paul from Houston, but they visited with all these guys that I'm about to mention at the combine. Patrick Paul, Brock Bowers, Roma Dunze, Fashanu from Penn State. There's Bo Nix, by the way.
Fashanu is a guy I would love, but I don't think he's,
it just feels like they've met with more players to me. That they could take around 13 that trade back with the Raiders. Feels like the caliber of player that they've met with more often than not has been some of those guys that are expected to go in the middle of the first round. And it makes me wonder. Like obviously, meeting with Nambers three times and Alt twice and setting up a group for a pro date for the, you know, to see if to take a third look at them, that's all important. And it makes me feel like those two guys are 1A, 1B. No matter, you know. If one of those dudes is on the board, the Titans should feel good about taking one of them. But what happens if the Chargers take Joe Alt and the Giants at 6 take Malik Nambers? Do they like Adunze enough? Or do they like the haul they could get from the Raiders by trading back to 13, possibly getting an extra pick in the second round, and then addressing multiple needs by getting, you know, a guy like maybe J.C. Latham at 13 and then circling back at 38 and grabbing – Junior Colson, and then maybe a Roman Wilson right after that with the Raiders' second-round pick. It's something that I'm considering now, and I truly believe that they are, like they should be doing, kind of exploring all possibilities here. And if there's a dude that they can grab at 13 or maybe 14 or 15, and they feel like they can trade back and get him and then also patch up another need later in the second round with an extra pick, I feel like that might be the better option. If Alt and Nambers are gone.
Jack, only those two are gone. I feel like you manage to do this every single week, and I don't know how you
flip flop every week. Every single week.
You infiltrate. You infiltrate me. You infiltrate this podcast, and you somehow turn this sacred 40 minutes of talk time that we have every week into a damn mock draft. Okay. And you know how I feel about mock drafts.
Just saying.
All right.
I'm just saying. Seems you like just they're exploring a lot of these guys.
Every scenario possible. In fact, I think you went through more scenarios than are possible somehow. I don't know how you managed to do it, but I am sick and tired of mock drafts. And obviously, because of my disdain for mock drafts, I do not follow them. If I see your mock draft, I immediately either mute you or block you or just continue scrolling. I do not even click on the image.
I haven't made one in years, but all of your old men yelling at cloud situation going on right now. I encourage everyone listening to send you their mock draft.
No,
I'm going to send you mine when
Jack,
I make it.
You haven't made a mock draft in years because
you
make them verbally on this podcast. No, you make them verbally on this podcast every year, and I have to sit here and just listen to them. However, with my naivety when it comes to mock drafts, is Marvin Harrison Jr. predicted to go as like a top three, top four pick? Like, why?
Cardinals,
or is that
at four,
a guy who is just
where
calling
a lot of people have.
At four?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
But you want to get a little mocky here. There's no guarantee that the Cardinals don't trade back because they need a lot.
I don't know. I feel like there's some like toxicity coming around with his name just based off of his unwillingness to.
He hadn't done anything
at the combine, right. at pro days, individual workouts. Yeah, there's a little weird buzz around him. So I wouldn't be surprised if an Odunze or a Neighbors go ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. In that case. If he's there at seven and you're the Tennessee Titans and he's around, I mean, a guy who's kind of shied away from and part of me respects it.
Like, I like Marvin Harrison Jr. as a player, but I hated his dad so much that it's making me uncomfortable.
It'd be so great to draft a Colts legend. That would be so funny. That'd be so awesome. And Marvin Harrison would have to go to Titans games and watch. You know, obviously, that is if he's not.
Yeah,
you can't
let him open up a car wash.
Yeah,
around the city.
Stay away from a car. If he opens up a car, gets in the car wash business, stay away, you guys.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
right.
Shame on me. Whichever it goes.
Speaking of wide receivers, which unless you have anything else on the visits, but Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. Remember when I gave that take a couple weeks ago about how we need to start hyping up the Texans? Yeah, now we definitely need to start hyping up the Texans, okay? We need to hype them up ridiculously. We need to just go all in. Hey, Texans are going to be so good. They're going to dominate the AFC. They're going to steal the crown away from the Chiefs. They are the new Chiefs. You know how the Chiefs used to be the Texans? Well, now the Texans are the new Chiefs, okay? That's what you need to be saying anytime
the
Texans
come up.
How big
of a lead is a big enough lead for the Texans to hold over the Chiefs in the playoffs before they eventually blow it? Because 24 is the number we're at right now.
They're going to clinch the playoffs by week one, I think.
Yeah,
maybe
you think so. Okay.
Maybe sooner, honestly. They play in the Hall of Fame game against the Bears. I mean, look, could they clinch the playoffs by the Hall of Fame game, the very first game of the year? But
Kevin Byard might
have
something to say about that. How weird is it that he's a Bear? Why does this keep popping into my head of how weird that is? Okay.
It is weird. I mean, it shouldn't be weird. We should be used to like the Chicago Bears are the retirement home for Tennessee Titans. Like, that's where they go.
Crookshank, Blasingame.
Yeah.
Kendall Wright was a Bear.
Kendall Wright.
There's so many guys. We can't start listing them off, though, because we only have a few minutes left.
But does this open up the possibility of the Bills looking to move into the top 10? And in which case, if you're the Titans, do you entertain that? Because that's moving you far down the pecking order, Jack.
21 spots down, because the Bills hold the 28th pick in the first round. The Titans should not move that far back. If you're going to move back, you do not jump into the 20s. You've not had success picking in the 20s. Titans fans, we've got scars from picking in the 20s.
But
the last five
that
times
was a
they picked
that
in
was
the
a,
20s.
It was a different
GM. Multiple GMs have failed. The last five times the Titans have picked in the 20s, Caleb Farley, Isaiah Wilson, Rashawn Evans, Kendall Wright, and Kenny Britt. The last time the Titans picked 28th, all the way back in 06, Andre Wolfolk. So it's been gross. It's been bad. But it hasn't always been bad. There have been a couple hits picking 20 or later, like Chris Johnson at 24 overall. Keith Bullock at 30th overall. But it's been years. It's been too long for them to jump back in there. When they're close to kind of turning the corner here, you want to stay at 7. If you move back to 13 or 14 or 15. Don't go all the way back to the back end of the first round, because that first round pick that you'll get next year from the Bills, it's probably going to be back there as well. Yeah. So, it's a bad situation for the Titans. I don't think that they should consider it, but I do think they should think about trading back.
I don't think they would do it, but what if you get a player for that pick?
Dude, the Bills, they couldn't hold on to any of their guys either. I mean, Gabe Davis is gone. Stephon Diggs is gone. Both their safeties are gone.
What if they offered up Josh Allen for the number 7 pick?
Yeah. Oof.
They need to get back in the quarterback market. Like, would you do it? I would do it. I would do it. Look, I love you, Will Levis, but I having you as a backup to Josh Allen be pretty dominant. Look,
if that's all it was and money wasn't a factor, of course you do it, but they couldn't afford it with all the guys that they've been paying this offseason.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, as we said, Titans are meeting with the media as you're listening to this today, which means we will probably miss out on some really cool things said, and we'll have to, wait a week. But it's all the more reason to follow us on social, because we'll react to all of it there at Titan Up Pod on Twitter, at Titan Up Podcast on Instagram. You can kind of get our instant reactions there as well. But before we get out of here, Jack, I do want to give a shout-out to Logan Ryan, who posted on Twitter the other day saying, thank you. Oh, also, I'm having construction done on my house. Can you hear that? Were you able to hear that drilling?
No.
Okay. The pipe works. Remember when my pipe burst back in January? And it's been a long process.
I'm well informed to get here.
Yeah.
You've had a tough go of it.
Yeah, they're drilling right now. So they're we're starting to put my house back together. I've lived without floors and ceilings this entire time. But speaking of a guy who breaks ceilings, Logan Ryan tweeted, thank you to all my family, friends, and teammates for the guidance and support. Thank you to the fans for watching, won 2 Super Bowls, and got out happy and healthy to be the best father of my children. Thanks again for 11 seasons. Cheers to what's next. And then hit us with one of the greatest hashtags in a retirement tweet of all time. #logout. Logan Ryan, do you get that? You see the punnery there?
Oh, I get it all right.
That to me, log out on your – that it's just incredible.
It is. And Logan Ryan was pivotal here. The Titans, before Logan Ryan arrived, had just 2 winning seasons in their previous 8 years.
Yeah.
They were struggling. They were down bad. But he came in 2017, and they had 3 straight winning seasons. They did go 9-7, but they won multiple playoff games. And he was a leader throughout all those teams. He taught some younger guys, how to be a leader. He was there for a lot of the pivotal pieces that have made a difference for this franchise over the last few years, and some that are still here. So Logan Ryan was a big-time piece. Obviously, the Tom Brady pick 6 stands out. But
the last pass that Tom Brady ever threw for the New England Patriots went into the hands of Logan Ryan and absolutely killed the Patriots dynasty. The Patriots have not been the same since then. So we have Logan Ryan to thank for sealing that victory there. Won 2 Super Bowls in his career. Almost won a 3rd that very playoff run. That would have been, he was a part of something great with the Titans. And hopefully something that the Titans will be able to achieve here again. But we wanted to give a shout out to Logan Ryan. And now, great, great name added to Remember the Titan whenever we bring that segment back. All right, Jack, we got to get out of here. Follow Jack A. Gentry on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Austin Huff. You can follow, Titan Up Pod on Twitter. Send us your SOAD titles. Send us your SOAD titles. Make it something obscure about the Titans, and we'll name the SOAD after that. And then follow us on Instagram at Titan Up Podcast. Jack, do you have anything for the road?
Make sure you follow me on Twitter. This week I'm going to have a lot of cool draft content coming up, some trends from years past. So make sure you're on there. Make sure you're looking at it, because that helps. That helps people win.
Yeah, and really boring mock drafts too. And follow him on LinkedIn. All right, with all of that said, until next week, Tighten up.
They're the Tennessee Titans.